Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
Every setback is part of the journey. In this podcast, Eckhart talks about the coming changes for humanity, including a shift to a different level of consciousness. He explains collectively, we are going through difficult times now because real change only occurs when society is pushed to the brink. He says, without adversity, there is no transformation. He believes we need not be afraid when hardship strikes because that too will be a catalyst for more spiritual growth. Eckhart says, historically, humanity has gone through many regressions and collective disasters. He explains they are intrinsic to the process of awakening because every setback is part of the journey.
When you become spacious or realize the spaciousness within you, then what is it that's being realized? You realize that the most fundamental, primordial fact about who you are is that you are conscious. Or even that's not quite correct, because by saying you are conscious, I'm separating you and conscious. There's a kind of duality which is created by language. Every sentence has a subject and an object. So you say, I am conscious. That's already misleading, because that would imply that apart from consciousness, there's still you. But there isn't. So it's more accurate to say, I am consciousness. I am consciousness. So when you realize at this moment, can you be right here and now? Can you be conscious that you are conscious? Sounds weird, but that's how it is. Yes, it's a direct knowing. You can't analyze it or even describe it, but you know that you are. I am. I am. And this consciousness is described, again going back to Jesus. He said, I am the light of the world. That's in the Gospel of John. In another Gospel, he says, he's talking to his disciples, and he says, you are the light of the world. What could that possibly mean? You are the light of the world. It is the light of consciousness that illuminates the entire world. You are consciousness, the light. It's an analogy. Light is an analogy for consciousness. It's the inner light. So where does that come from? If it's not a byproduct of the physical brain, or there's a relationship, but consciousness pervades the entire universe, consciousness is in this flower. It manifests as this flower. It manifests as all the things that we see. It manifests as the sun, as the universe, the galaxies, the blades of grass. Okay, we're going now to a deep place that may look a little bit mystical or speculative, but it isn't. What you can sense as consciousness in yourself could be compared, to use the term light that Jesus used, the closest analogy I can find is there's the sun, and the sun in many ancient civilizations was regarded as divine or God. And there's a reason for that, because the sun emanates almost endlessly life energy. It emanates light for millions and millions of years. One could almost say eternally. It's not eternal, but relative to our lifespan, we could call it eternal. The sun continuously emanates light. When you go out, the light that you can sense on your body is sunlight. Now, that light, let's say, continue with this analogy a little bit further, Imagine a ray of sunlight becomes conscious suddenly that it is a ray of sunlight. The ray of sunlight becomes self-conscious and says, oh, and then it looks around. It's a strange analogy. And then it looks around and says, oh, look at all that. And then it starts to identify with things. It forgets who it is, that is a ray of sunlight continuously and eternally connected with the sun. Because this ray of sunlight is connected to the sun, it's an extension of the sun. But the ray of sunlight becomes so interested in all the stuff that it loses its realization of its origin. And it identifies with stuff. And stuff becomes very important, stuff being the stuff of thoughts, of minds. Physical stuff, yes, but more importantly, mental stuff. It enters a kind of dreamlike world of where the stuff becomes incredibly important. Every thought goes, and at some point it suffers so much that it can't stand it anymore. Who am I? And suddenly it stops thinking about stuff and just go,
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic, because we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
Suddenly, there's a spacious stillness, and it begins to feel its connectedness to something very deep and profound. And it realizes, it remembers or realizes again its true origin. Not a historical fact, but a present fact. It realizes that it is continuously part of the sun. It is an extension of the sun. So I'm using sun as an analogy for the source from which all life emanates, which is traditionally called God. We can't really talk about God because whatever we say is so absurdly limited that it's virtually pointless to even say anything, and yet I'll say something. Consciousness is the emanation from the transcendent source of all life. Transcendent means it is not a source that can be found in space or time. I can say it's there or it's there. Where is it? Is it a million light years from here? None of that. It comes from the transcendent dimension. That emanates, the source emanates into this dimension. And as it emanates into this dimension, it gradually creates all the life forms of this dimension. And it gradually, this dimension awakens gradually to its true identity, its origin. So the source wants to realize itself in and through this dimension. So the essence of who you are, which you can, it's not something to believe in, say, I believe I am consciousness, I believe it. No, to realize it immediately, indirectly, here and now, because it's the most immediate thing or no thing in you that you are conscious, that is the emanation from source, from God. So you are the light of the world. That is your true identity, is that. And temporarily, this light of the world, the light emanation from source, temporarily incarnates, pretends to be this, that, and the other. There's a very brief flash. Every life form, let's say every human on this planet, is like a flash of light, of consciousness on the planet. The lifespan is quite short on a universal scale. So every human life is this flash that appears. If you could see it from a bird's eye view, far away, you see the planet and all the life forms of humans on the planet. If you speed it up, So if you speed it up, you see the human is born and then it grows. It runs around and then it goes. And then another one comes. The one being incarnating, the one light manifesting as. And if you speed it up even more, all you see is flashes of light appearing continuously, like little like sparkles of consciousness. And each sparkle that appears for a fraction of a second is a human lifetime. And this human, unless the human awakens to his or her transcendent identity, is completely identified with its external form. It doesn't know who he or she is. It's lost in the dream of form. It's unaware of the formless dimension, the spaciousness, the origin, the source. So this is the realization that you are predominantly the deep I. Your true identity is the I am, the deep I, the spaciousness. I am consciousness. And you can sense yourself as this presence, this beingness. And once you can sense that and sustain that, although you might initially you lose it or you forget it and you return to it, but more and more this becomes the foundation for your sense of self. But the Buddha called it the no-self. Jesus called it, sometimes called it, the fullness of life. I want you to have the fullness of life, which is realizing who you are in your essence. And that's the awakening. Then you live in two dimensions. And this is your destiny, and ultimately every human's destiny is to live in the two dimensions of the formless being and the temporary entity. So this is why you are a human being. Human is the form, not only the physical form, but also the psychological form, the person, the personality with a history. You're the human. This is the surface level of reality. And yes, you have to deal with it. You can't just say, I'm no longer interested in the surface level, I'm not doing anything anymore. Because it's all an illusion. And then if that is a belief, because you've heard somebody said it or you've read it in a book, it's all an illusion, I'm not dealing with any stuff anymore. I've had enough. Then you will be surprised how real the surface dimension, it will really challenge you. Part of the awakening is to be challenged in and by the surface dimension of life and to confront the challenges of the vertical without losing yourself in it, without taking it so seriously that there's nothing else for you but that, and then every little drama becomes a big thing for you. Oh my God, what's happening now? Oh, your continuous fear of the next damn thing happening to you. Oh. And then you go through your life just waiting for the next thing to happen. That's the surface level of reality. That's where the surface I lives and has to live while it's here in this dimension. And it gets challenged, and eventually the challenges drive it deeper, deeper into a realization of its essence identity, which is the deep. And then the two, you bring the two together, and then the deep I is present while you engage in the surface activities of life and deal with the stuff that you have to deal with. And you have this connectedness in the background with the source, which means, in practical terms, that you begin to experience frequently throughout the day moments of spacious presence.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially, step up like a boss and save the day, or see what life's like under the tree of life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic, 'cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
In the midst of situations, initially, brief moments of spacious presence. So you just, perhaps you just look at something, a sky or a tree or a traffic light, but you're just there. A few seconds, perhaps. But your moments, and you begin to invite moments of spaciousness into your life. And there's nobody who is that busy that they cannot have brief moments of spaciousness in their life, their daily life. How often you wait for something every day? There's always little waiting times. The seductive thing, especially with our technology these days, you're never free of the clutter. It was a challenge even before they came up with these things. But now, whenever humans have to wait for something, immediately they get the thing out of their pocket. They must just be standing at the elevator. They have to get this thing out. There's nothing really to look at, but they have to look at it. So the clutter in their minds, this amplifies the tendency that's already been there for hundreds and thousands of years for the mind to be cluttered and to completely lose yourself in the clutter of your mind. Lost, the human condition could be described, the unawakened human condition could be described as lost in your mind, which is lost in the clutter of your mind. And now we have invented these things that amplify the clutter, give you even more seductive than your, even more addictive than your own mind. So you need to be very careful that you give yourself time for spaciousness. Don't get this thing out unless there really is something to do or look at. Even when it does, it makes strange noises. It's another, yes, somebody has posted something on Facebook, but why would you be interested in this right now? It's more clutter. Or some news flash has come in, but do you need to look at this now? Or maybe you receive tweets from countless people and your phone makes a noise. More clutter for the mind. What has he tweeted now? This time he has gone too far. He's already gone too far 1,000 times, but this time... And then you have to turn on the TV. This is the Situation Room. What's happening today? Very serious, very, very serious. And then the interviewer goes, asks the question, politician, what's this? I'm not saying cut yourself off completely. There's a time for everything. There's a time for reading the news, finding out what's happening without losing yourself in it, and yet always realizing the very foundation of life, of your life, and realizing all the things of this world may be important or are important. Many things are important, but they're all relatively important. But there's only one thing that is absolutely important, and that is realizing who you are in the depths of your being, who you are in your essence. Ultimately, then realizing the one thing that is of ultimate importance is knowing who you are. And that's why the ancient Greeks already said, "Know thyself." It's on the temple, Apollo's temple in Delphi in ancient Greece, 500 BC, carved in the temple. Know thyself. Gnothi seauton. My ancient Greek is not very good. Know thyself. What does that mean? Know who you are in your essence. And people would go to this temple to receive messages from the transcendent realm. They asked questions, and there was a priestess sitting there and channeling answers. In modern terms, it's channeling answers to their questions. What do I do with my life? What should I marry this person or not? What do I do? How do I get more money? How do I do all this? But at the entrance to the temple was the thing that is of absolute importance. Know thyself. The rest is secondary. Einstein said, I don't know whether this is what he actually meant, but this is how I interpret it. Einstein said, I want to know the mind of God. The rest is details. I want to know the mind of God. How can you know the mind of God except by knowing your own mind or your own consciousness, which is an emanation, an extension of the mind of the transcendent that we call God? I want to know the mind of God, the rest, and all this is the rest, your entire life situation, all the drama of your life is the rest. It's details. It's fine. Yes, you have to deal with it. It's there to challenge you, but realize what is relatively important. That's all this on the surface dimension of life, and what is absolutely important, and that is your connectedness with Source. And so bring moments of spaciousness as much as possible into your daily life by stopping. Let go of thinking without loss of consciousness, remaining alert and present. Sometimes it just involves becoming aware of sense perceptions, listening, looking, without labeling anything mentally. Just listen, look, listen, look. But sense perception is not all. That's the entry point into who you are. Come to your senses and then realize yourself as the consciousness behind the sense perceptions, which you could call the stillness. Realize the stillness, the alert stillness as the background, the spaciousness in which sense perceptions happen. So that there's a twofold awareness. There's an awareness of sense perceptions, even occasional thoughts. You're not losing yourself in the thought. There's an awareness of that. But more fundamentally, there is an awareness of awareness. That's a weird way of putting it. There's an awareness that you are aware. That's the source dimension. That's the deep eye. That's the alert stillness. That you are aware of awareness or conscious of consciousness. And then you perceive the world from there. At first, you practice it when you're moments when you're not being challenged by life. There's a moment you're waiting for the elevator. Okay, instead of getting out your device, you contemplate and you become aware that you are the awareness behind the sense perception. Not through words, through a direct realization. There's a stillness, an alert stillness. That's beautiful. And so invite these moments, spaciousness, into your life. It could just be a little thing like looking at a flower for 10, 15 seconds and sensing at the same time the awareness that's looking. So you look in stillness. Bring spaciousness into your life more and more. And then after a while, the moments of spaciousness become a little longer. And then a time comes when the sense of spaciousness doesn't leave you even while you're thinking. Even while you're talking to somebody, you're talking to another human being. Okay, maybe you're buying or selling something. How much is that? Okay. But while you're talking, you're aware of the two dimensions also. One dimension is the human dimension, which is to do with whatever the interaction involves. But at the same time, you are not losing yourself only in the human dimension, because as you talk to this person and listen to this person and look at this person, you're aware of that still background while you're talking and listening. And that means you're aware of yourself as the presence. But the miracle is, the moment you're aware of the deep I in yourself, you're also aware of the deep I in the other. That's the beauty of it. And that means you truly recognize the other in their beingness, and you don't get stopped on the level of the person or the personality, which is usually not easy to deal with. So you acknowledge the personality, but you can sense beyond the personality of the other and realize that the beingness in the other as one with your own beingness, which isn't your own, we just call it that. And that realization that no matter how different the personality of the other is, in your essence, you are one with the other. In other words, the other is no other. That is called the realization of oneness. And another term for the realization of oneness is the often misused word love. That is true love. Not egoic love, which says, I want you, I need you, don't you dare leave me. Not that. Love is recognizing the other as yourself. So the weird thing is, when you love another in the truest sense, you're always just, you're loving yourself, because you always see yourself in the other. And this is what Jesus said. Love your neighbor. Neighbor means the other. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, this is an impossible commandment in isolation, because how am I going to love my neighbor? So I hate my neighbor. I knew somebody many years ago. She would go to church every Sunday. And then at some point, many years ago, in the Catholic Church, they introduced the custom of, at some point during Mass, you would have to shake hands with the people next to you and in front of you and behind you and wish them peace, peace. And she said, I'm not going to church anymore. Because I have to shake hands with all the people I hate. So she stopped going to church. Now this happens when you take love your neighbor as yourself in isolation does not work. But when the Gospels were written, they brought all kinds of fragments together. It only works in conjunction with the dictum, find the kingdom of heaven, the dimension of spaciousness that is within you. That's all that ultimately matters. Find the dimension of spaciousness within you, then you will love or recognize your neighbor as yourself. Now it makes sense. But if you take in isolation, if you have not found that inner dimension, you cannot love your neighbor as yourself. It's impossible to do, because he's a jerk, says the mind, says the personality. How do you want to lie? I don't like anybody, really. As Jean-Paul Sartre, the French philosopher, said, hell is other people. That's the ego talking, of course. So that's love, is that recognition. And it's not only love. That is also where compassion arises, originates, where empathy originates. All the things that would transform the world if more humans were able to live in and from that dimension. And then even the way in which you deal with the surface reality of your life changes, because you're no longer trapped in it. You're no longer totally confined to it. You deal with it, but you don't take it that seriously anymore, because it will all evaporate like smoke. Just give it a few, sometimes it's days, sometimes it's weeks or a few years. It'll all evaporate. I love watching old, very early movie clips. You can sometimes see them on YouTube from city scenes, 1890, New York, Fifth Avenue, London, 1900, London, people walking around the city streets, hurrying, still horses and carriages, or a little bit later, 1910, 1915, first cars. Where are they now? All the drama of their life, nobody even remembers anybody's name. These hundreds of people running through the streets, now you look at them, what were their names? No, nobody remembers. So these are how ephemeral the human form is. And even if they did remember, maybe if you do something, they will remember your name, but that doesn't make any difference either. You evaporate as this form is very short-lived. So, yes, seeing how importance, relative importance, absolute importance. We've been addressing tonight the secret of life for humans at their present evolutionary stage. And what we are witnessing is a shift to a different level of consciousness for humanity. And this is why we're going through critical times. Huge shifts only happen when huge challenges happen. Again, we see from mentioned before, challenges coinciding with huge transformations. Without the challenge, no transformation. There are huge collective challenges coming towards us, and that's fine. And that can become, will eventually become a trigger for a collective transformation of consciousness. Whether or not we need to experience a regression, it's possible through collective disasters. We may have to go through that. It's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. The one being that continuously incarnates, the light of consciousness is gradually flowering in this dimension and growing in this dimension. Every setback is part of the journey. Every obstacle is an essential part of the journey. What seems to be in the way often turns out to be the way. It becomes the opening. So it's a wonderful adventure to be involved in this, especially if you realize that in addition to a person, in addition to personal meaning to your life, there's a deeper and more important transcendent meaning to your life, far more important than whatever you may be doing as a person, but they are connected. So this is how it is. And with this, I leave you and wish you a wonderful journey more deeply into the essence of who you are. Thank you.
I'm Oprah Winfrey, and you've been listening to Eckhart Tolle, Essential Teachings, the podcast. You can follow these essential teachings on Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts. If you haven't yet, go to Spotify and follow this podcast. Join us next week for more enlightened teachings from Eckhart Tolle. Thank you for listening.